Chapter 5 Business, Finances, and Vocational Selection. If, as we firmly believe, the most successful and most spiritual type of life open to any organism is that in which it contributes its utmost to universal welfare, the occupation followed by an individual has implications of tremendous importance. His health, his domestic life and his recreation aid him in the building of character and the acquiring of abilities. But it is chiefly in his work, either his vocation or his avocation, that he has the opportunity to contribute most to the common good of society. Vocational selection should have for its object the placing of the individual in the particular line of work, where he will be of greatest benefit, not merely to himself, but to the world at large. And if he is to continue productive, it is necessary for him to have a source of income. Therefore, in the selection of an occupation, the matter of financial revenue should not be overlooked. The amount of revenue, which may be obtained from a given type of work, however, is seldom commensurate with the benefit it confers upon others, but is governed by many artificial conditions, which manipulate the law of supply and demand. Poe sold the poem which made him famous, The Raven, for $10. Very few of the great inventions have yielded much money to their originators. And the scientists, who give to the world the most valuable discoveries, for the most part get nothing for them other than personal gratification, earning the money for their research through teaching or some other modest occupation. When, therefore, the talents of the individual fit him particularly for some useful accomplishment, which has little or no financial demand at the period in which he lives, it is appropriate that he should seek, in addition to this work, which may be followed as an avocation, an occupation which yields a revenue. Just as scientists more commonly earn their living as college instructors, so usually it is possible to find a financially remunerative work, in which whatever ability the individual has can find, if not the highest, at least beneficial, expression. Whether the individual makes his greatest contribution to the common good through the occupation in which he makes his living, or through the line of endeavor, which thus making a living enables him to follow, in each instance his highest success depends upon utilizing his most pronounced abilities. Any type of ability, however, is capable of being used under a wide variety of environmental conditions. And quite aside from ability, the environment of its use may, and often does, contribute factors which determine whether there is success or failure. No matter how skilled an aviator may be, a defect in his plane may cause his own death and the death of his passengers. No matter how shrewd a financier may be, a sudden bank failure may bring his ruin. An earthquake may wipe out the businessman of exceptional merchandising skill. A lawyer may become the target of criminal malice. A doctor may contract infection. A farmer may have his crops destroyed by hail. These, in spite of unusual skill and customary precaution. In all success there is an element other than ability, which plays an important part. It is commonly called luck. But where the individual is concerned, this element, which when discordant enough may bring ruin to the most skillfully handled enterprise, is in reality the habitual manner in which the thought cells within his astral body perform when he is brought into contact with certain environmental conditions. These thought cells, or stellar cells, as we more commonly call them, are the units of which the astral body is composed, much as the physical body is composed of protoplasm cells and their secretions. And it is within this astral body, which is a thought-built body, that both the mental factors which express as ability, and those which, acting from the inner plane, attract fortune or misfortune, are retained. Not only are most of the processes and functions of the physical body, such as the circulation, digestion, assimilation, secretion, and the opposite pull of the innumerable muscles required to enable us, to sit in a chair or stand erect, controlled by the thought cells and their organizations within the astral body, but these thought organizations exert a constant and powerful influence to attract events. It is a mere platitude to say that character is destiny. But when it is realized that the character of an individual is the sum total of the thoughts which have been built, as stellar cells and stellar structures, into his astral body, the statement acquires dynamic significance. For each stellar cell and each organization of thought cells has such intelligence as has been imparted to it, and is capable of independent activities on the inner plane, which are within the scope of that intelligence. It is these inner plane activities of the thought groups embraced within the astral body, which bring to an individual the events of his life. Whatever an individual may be at a given time, including his abilities and his tendency to attract events of a particular type rather than those of another type, results from the sum total of his past experiences, as these have been organized as mental factors within his finer body. The events which are attracted at a particular time are due to the activities of one or more of the thought groups within his astral body, which have at the time been given more than a normal amount of energy. This unusual supply of energy may be acquired by properly directed thought, but commonly is the result of planetary energy flowing into the thought group over the temporary area formed by a progressed planetary aspect. The planets, by their positions in the birth chart, map the most active thought groups within the astral body at the time of birth. But the planetary positions are not thus the cause of them. They are located as mapped, and have the kind of activity indicated, because the experiences of the soul previous to the time of human birth build them into the astral form. In vocational selection, we are interested in these dynamic stellar structures, which are mapped by the planets in the birth chart, because they point in an unmistakable manner to the natural aptitudes an individual possesses and to the amount of harmony or discord he may expect to attract in any given environmental association. These are the two considerations which determine the line of work any individual may best follow. It may be asked why it is that some people, or for that matter some dogs, are born with one kind of ability and one kind of fortune, and their fellows are born with a different kind of ability and a different kind of fortune. One who observes nature finds, as a matter of fact, that no two life forms have just the same qualities, or undergo just the same experiences. There is the utmost diversity both in capabilities and in the fortunes of creatures. This is because the experiences they undergo constitute their training, and they need different training, because each is being educated to fill a different position in the cosmic scheme. An organism can only function as such through specialization and division of labor. The universe is a most complex organism, whose ever-expanding frontiers demand new workers, each having ability of a highly specialized kind. Souls are called into differentiation in response to the future cosmic needs, and are trained through their experiences for the particular type of activity in which they ultimately are to engage. At the moment of their differentiation, they are given the polarity, or trend, which attracts to them the long series of events, which is the only means nature has of developing special abilities. These experiences, and the mental attitude toward them, build impulses, feeling, and emotions into the astral body as stellar cells. Judging the aptitudes, this is not the place to trace the evolution of the soul from the time of its differentiation through the astral spheres and the lower kingdoms of physical life on Earth. The universal laws, which anyone can see at work, if he will look about him at other life forms, under which such evolution takes place, and many details concerning them, are set forth in Course 19. Here it is mentioned only because, to get a clearer conception of the operation of astrological forces on human life, it is necessary to know that the aptitudes and the fortune trends, with which any person is born have been acquired through experiences in lower forms of life, that they exist within the astral body as thought organizations, or stellar structures, and are mapped by the signs and planets of the birth chart. The experiences which a soul undergoes are of 10 distinct types, and the mental reaction, or state of consciousness, resulting from each type of experience gives rise to a distinct family of thoughts. Thus are there 10 families of thoughts. The thought elements belonging to these 10 families enter into thought compounds, which form the stellar cells of the astral body. And the more powerful the thought cells belonging to a particular family are, the more prominently are its stellar cells mapped in the birth chart. The importance of this lies in the circumstance that the more prominent a planet is in the birth chart, the more powerful and active are the stellar cells and the dynamic stellar structure which this planet maps. That is, the experiences of the individual before birth have been such as to give him very little aptitude of the quality mapped by a planet lacking in prominence, but have been such as to build up a powerful thought organization in his astral body of the quality of any prominent planet. And whenever the astral body contains such a powerful group of stellar cells belonging to a certain family, this signifies that the soul has had ample experience of this type before human birth, to develop the kind of aptitudes given by this thought family. Ability of a certain kind cannot be judged exclusively by the volume of experiences related to it. The lines of association which connect these experiences to those of other types must also be considered. But it can safely be concluded that unless there have been such experiences in volume, the ability of this kind will be small. And the more prominent a planet is in the birth chart, the greater the volume of experiences of its type does it map. The stellar cells forming the dynamic stellar structure at that point in the astral body, acting as the terminal of a stellar aerial, receive planetary energy constantly, and continue in a high state of activity. They represent aptitudes that readily can be converted into ability. In lesson number 106, I have explained why any planet in an angle or in reasonably close aspect to Sun, Moon or Mercury must be considered prominent. And in lesson number 105 has been explained how the dominant planet in the chart should be selected. It is the most influential planet in the chart, because more of its particular quality of energy flows through the stellar structures of the astral body than any other. The thought cells it maps are the most active group in the chart, and thus indicate natural aptitudes of the kind related to their thought family. Each of the 10 thought families, together with the best quality and worst quality expressed by it, is listed under its appropriate planet in lesson number 105. And in the same lesson, the manner in which a family expresses the particular thought element, or urge, belonging to each series of the 12 is set forth, with the best quality and worst quality of the series, under its ruling zodiacal sign. Now, any planet in the chart, which is prominent, indicates aptitude of the nature denoted by the planet. But in expressing this aptitude, which is to be gauged by the amount of prominence of the planet, the number of aspects it makes and the strength of these aspects, the individual should be allowed to follow the methods indicated by his temperament and disposition. The rules for judging temperament and disposition are explained in lesson number 105, dominant planet first, the first house next, the mentality third, and the sun sign fourth. The individual may have pronounced abilities other than those shown by these four factors, but if any attempt is made to express them in a manner not consistent with the temperament and disposition, there is sure to be discomfort. When he tries to more follow an occupation which is at variance with the temperament and disposition, even though he has the ability to perform such work, a distaste for it arises which contributes neither to happiness nor high accomplishment. Temperament and disposition, therefore, should be considered as playing an essential part in the selection of the abilities, which can be used to greatest advantage. Selecting an outlet for the abilities, whatever the abilities may be, in order that they may be effective, they must express themselves in the accomplishment of something, and this implies that they be used in a definite direction and amid certain surroundings. These environmental associations within which abilities are used have a character vibration, which is radiated from them, and which impinges upon the astral body of a person in much the same way that planetary vibrations do. In fact, the astral energy which each thing radiates is really of the same type as corresponding thought energy or planetary energy. The radiations of objects and people which thus influence those who come into close association with them are called character vibrations. All astral vibrations capable of influencing human life, therefore, are embraced within the three terms astrological vibrations, thought vibrations and character vibrations. And both thought vibrations and character vibrations can be classified according to the planetary vibrations having the same rate and consequently the same effect. Now, the soul, as it evolved through various astral and physical forms, due to the original attractive and repulsive qualities with which it was endowed, has had repeated experiences with objects and intelligences belonging to each of the 10 planetary types. Because this original attractive and repulsive quality was determined by its need for experience to accomplish its special education, it has been attracted more often to situations of a given planetary type than some other soul, and its attitude, or mental reaction, to such conditions as it has met also has been peculiar to its own polarity. Situations which it has met with a feeling of pleasure, even though that pleasure was the high gratification at overcoming an enemy or an obstacle after a painful and exhausting struggle, have incorporated into its stellar cells thought elements, which have combined with other thought elements in harmonious compounds. But every situation or condition which has been productive of an attitude of distaste, discomfort, or pain, has built thought elements into the stellar cells of the astral body as discordant compounds. Whenever the stellar structures within the astral body, which are composed of harmoniously compounded thought elements, are given additional energy from the thoughts, from the planets, or from the character vibrations of objects, they become active in proportion to the amount of astral energy so received. And because they are harmonious, this activity is directed, according to the intelligence they possess, toward bringing into the life those conditions commonly called fortunate. Likewise, whenever the stellar structures within the astral body, which are composed of discordantly compounded thought elements, are given additional energy from the thoughts, from the planets, or from the character vibrations of objects, they also become active in proportion to the amount of astral energy so received. But, because they are discordant, this activity is directed, according to the intelligence they possess, toward bringing into the life those conditions commonly called unfortunate. The birth chart, by the aspects, indicates to what extent the stellar cells and stellar structures of each type are built of harmoniously or discordantly compounded thought elements. And as the type of character vibration of various environmental conditions is known, it is possible to determine what stellar cells will be given additional energy through associating with such an environment, and whether the stellar cells so stimulated will use this additional energy and their intelligence to attract fortune or to attract misfortune. To associate with those things the character vibrations, of which are ruled by harmoniously aspected planet in the birth chart, is to attract good fortune. The more prominent the planet and the more harmonious the better, because the aerial mapped by the aspect picks up all energy of the type, whether from the planet, from thoughts, or from character vibrations, and conducts it harmoniously to the stellar cells in the astral body which the planet maps. When we associate with the things ruled by an inharmoniously aspected planet, the character vibrations from it are picked up by the stellar aerial stretching across the astral body, as mapped by the aspect, and are given so much static by the aerial, as they are conducted to the stellar cells, that these thought cells, feeling the discord, work energetically to bring into the life conditions corresponding to their inharmony. Selecting the vocation. In selecting a vocation, therefore, the aptitudes of the individual should be appraised, and an effort made to find an outlet for these special aptitudes amid conditions that will not attract too much misfortune. That is, insofar as practicable, the environments ruled by planets, which are discordant in the birth chart, should be avoided in favor of those ruled by more harmonious planets. And in this appraisal of the effects of an environmental association over the life, it must be remembered that only a prominent planet indicates a volume of energy, either for better or worse, which is important. As a broad general rule, which is subject to various practical considerations, we can say that the best vocation for an individual is one which permits his highest ability to express amid the surroundings ruled by the best planet in his birth chart. These practical considerations, among which is the demand for work of a particular type, often force the most successful individuals into environmental associations which are decidedly discordant. But their abilities, combined with the more fortunate positions in their birth charts, are sufficient to enable them to achieve high ends in spite of the various obstacles, setbacks, and disagreeable circumstances attracted by the discordantly stimulated stellar cells mapped by the badly aspected planet. People are not born with the abilities used in vocations. In lower forms of life, there has been no experience in handling a typewriter, for instance. But there may have been other experiences of the Mercury type, which have built into the thought cells mental alertness, quick adaptability, and manual dexterity, which make it easy to learn to handle a typewriter expertly. Such people are born with natural aptitudes, which when given training readily become specific Mercury abilities. And if there have also been numerous third house experiences before human birth, they may readily be attracted to, and become proficient in, typing. People are born with natural aptitudes, which under suitable training are readily converted into specific abilities. And the general rule in vocational selection is to unite the abilities already possessed, or which the natural aptitudes indicate can be developed to a marked degree, with as harmonious an environment as can be found for their expression. But there are much more specific and detailed rules for judging suitability for each vocation, which can only be ascertained by careful analysis and the statistical study of large series of birth charts of those who actually have followed the vocation. The Brotherhood of Light Research Department spent 18 years and thousands of dollars collecting 100 time birth data each of those who followed 30 different vocations. The birth charts were erected and were then analyzed by the statistical method, in which each significant position is given in terms of percentage. While 30 vocations are but a fraction of those followed by people, these that were thus analyzed employ abilities developed from all of the natural aptitudes in various combinations. The reference book in which these analyses and other findings are published, How to Select a Vocation, thus aims completely to cover the subject of astrological vocational selection. In addition to certain planets being prominent, and thus showing natural aptitudes commonly utilized in the vocation, those following most vocations have charts in which there is outstanding house activity which is significant. Experiences in lower forms of life have been not merely of planetary family types, but also associated with the various departments of life. Lower forms of life take journeys, such as are ruled by the third house, build homes, such as are ruled by the fourth house, care for offspring, such as are ruled by the fifth house, and in some degree have experiences related to each of the 12 departments of life, the thought cells relating to, which are mapped by the 12 houses of the birth chart. Such thought cell activity due to extensive experiences with a certain department of life has a power to attract the individual into association with the things of this department of life. Thus, architects have active third and fourth houses, while doctors have active sixth and twelfth houses. Such details are beyond the scope of this lesson, but that the general rules may be applied intelligently, I shall here give the more important environmental things, and also the type of ability, ruled by each of the 10 planets. Sun. The Sun rules gold, politics, persons of authority, the male sex in general, and those who employ others. In method he inclines to official positions, civil or political, or to deputies appointed by office holders. He must be at the head of something, even if but a shop foreman or the head of a small department in some business. Moon. The Moon rules silver, liquids, the common people, commodities, hotels, the home, food, the female sex in general, and has some significance over music. In method she inclines to everyday business in the retail trade, to fishing, seamanship, nursing, and to serving food. She is at her best when meeting large numbers of all kinds of people. Mercury. Mercury rules books, railroads, periodicals, telephone and telegraph systems, and people who are literary or studious. His methods incline to talking, writing, traveling, teaching, and the constant use of the mind. Clerical work, accountancy, postal work, traveling salesman, or acting as an agent, is in line with his inclinations. He must have opportunity to express his mentality. Venus. Venus rules flowers, art of all kinds, dancing, wearing apparel, fancy goods, confectionery, pastry, toilet articles, jewelry, people of a social turn, and has some significance over music. In method she inclines from hard work and depends upon affability, grace of manners and good taste. She relies upon that which pleases rather than upon that which is of necessity. Mars. Mars rules steel, machinery of all kinds, implements of construction or destruction, intoxicating drink, and among people, cooks, soldiers, surgeons and mechanics. In method he is aggressive, and either destructive or constructive. He therefore takes to all mechanical work, to war, and to surgery. He must have an outlet for his abundant creative energy. Jupiter. Jupiter rules judges, clergymen, bankers, professional men of all kinds, merchandise and persons of wealth. He does well in any of the professions, and also as a salesman of things appealing to those of considerable means. While Mercury depends upon shrewdness and cleverness, Jupiter depends upon good fellowship and a genial personality. He appeals to the better class of patronage, and can sell either his own abilities or his merchandise to the very best advantage. Saturn. Saturn rules basic utilities, such as minerals, hay, grain, coal and building material. He also rules mines, real estate, the land, business methods and sedate or elderly people. In method he depends upon foresight, system, economy, management and persistent labor. He predisposes to sedentary employment and to laborious work. Mining and agriculture are in his line, as is business management in general. He has not the personality to make a good direct contact salesman, but he can buy to advantage and is a shrewd trader. Uranus. Uranus rules inventions, automobiles and late mechanical devices, orators, lawyers, electricians, astrology and occultists. In method he is original, inventive, and tends to the uncommon. He has the power to influence others through his magnetism, and must have an outlet for his unusual ingenuity. Neptune rules oil, gas, drugs, the drama, moving pictures, aviation, mediums, mystics, psychic people and schemes requiring incorporation or the profit sharing of a number of people. In method he is visionary and dislikes physical work, but has the power to impart to others enthusiasm for his plans. Consequently, he makes a good promoter, one who carries out psychic work of some nature, or who practices some progressive method of healing. Pluto rules chemists, television, the wireless transmission of messages or power, intra-atomic and cosmic sources of energy, national planning, gangsters, kidnapping, and compulsory codes for the benefit of the people as a whole. In method he requires the close cooperation of a number of people, the regimentation of public opinion, works cunningly but has no compunction about resorting to force, and utilizes the latest discoveries and inventions in the carrying out of his purposes. The three factors of business success. It frequently happens that a person who is unusually successful in handling a business for another is able to earn a very nice salary, but as soon as he goes into business for himself he loses all he has. On the other hand, a person who makes very little success in the employ of others often is able to make a marked success when he breaks away from such servitude and establishes himself independently. In determining this, there are three chief things to consider. 1. The first, and most important of these three factors, is the 10th house. The cusp of the 10th house is marked through the astral body by a thin blue line. And all astral energy, which reaches this line, is widely broadcast. It is the apex of the chart, where astral energy is brought to a focus and radiated in a manner which brings it to public notice. The sharp blue line mapped by the degree on the MC thus acts as an amplifier. In the compartment of the astral body mapped by the 10th house are all the thoughts, impulses and feelings of the past, which have to do with credit, honor, business and promotion. They are present as harmonious or discordant compounds, which attract to the individual the conditions in reference to business and honor corresponding to the aspects of the planets which map their condition. And, because they have ready access to the amplifying device of the MC, their influence, whatever it may be, gets the widest publicity. As a general rule, the more elevated a planet is in the chart, that is, the closer it is to the cusp of the MC, the more readily the qualities represented by the stellar structures it maps get publicity. But as affecting the honor and business in particular, any planet aspecting the cusp of the 10th, or aspecting a planet in the 10th, and thus mapping a stellar aerial reaching to the amplifier, is more important than a planet elevated and not in the 10th. If, therefore, the rulers of the 10th house, and the cusp of the 10th the amplifier, are well aspected, it is an excellent indication that the person can make a success in business for himself. But if planets in the 10th, the cusp of the 10th, or the ruler of the cusp of the 10th, receive inharmonious aspects, it indicates difficulties that tend to hamper an independent business. 2. Another factor, which may, or may not, be next in importance in determining if a person will succeed in a business for himself is the sun. When a person owns and controls a business he becomes the center about which the whole enterprise revolves. If the power urges in his astral body, as mapped by the sun, are powerful and harmonious, this controlling power will tend to success. But if the power urges are weak or inharmonious, as indicated by a weak and afflicted sun in the birth chart, his power of control over the business tends toward disorganization and failure. The sun becomes more important in proportion, as the activities of other persons must be directed in the business, especially if such direction must be made through personal contact. Bosses, either in politics or in business, need a well-aspected son if possible, but at least a prominent son. 3. From the purely financial end, rather than that of ability to direct and control, the two business planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are of more importance than the sun. Where buying, selling, bargaining and sound business judgment are concerned, these are the two influences that must be relied upon. If they are weak and afflicted, they indicate lack of business ability, but to the extent they are prominent and well aspected, they indicate both the judgment and the luck, which tend to financial success. When the three factors of business success, the tenth house, the sun, and the business planets are weak and much afflicted, it is better for the individual not to go into business for himself, but to be content to work in the employ of others. This need be no great hardship, as at the present day there seems to be no limit to the salary it is possible to command in the services of the larger companies and corporations. The business an individual would like to follow often is indicated by a planet in the 10th house, or if no planet is in this house, by the ruler of its cusp. But such an inclination does not signify that the person actually will follow the business, or even that it would be wise for him to do so. It merely indicates that there are stellar cells, which have been built into the compartment of his astral body mapped by the 10th house, which have had thought associations, such as to incline him toward a particular type of endeavor. In reference to business success, and to retaining a position of prominence in world affairs, it is interesting to compare the charts, here given, of Henry Ford and Grouse San Martin. Under the progress positions shown, San Martin was elevated to the position of President of Cuba. Sudden elevation is typical of such a progressed aspect to Uranus, but although his chart shows political sagacity and exceptional personal ability, his 10th house was not powerful enough to retain him in power. After about 6 months, he was compelled to resign in favor of a man with a stronger 10th house. Securing employment, to the extent the position involves promotion, responsibility, credit, or even limited public recognition, it implies activities of the thought cells organized in that portion of the astral body mapped by the 10th house. But the actual labor involved, and the various conditions under which that labor is performed, are indicated and attracted by the stellar cells which are in that portion of the astral body mapped by the 6th house. In matters of employment, as in other things, each individual, according to his birth chart, has a normal trend. Some individuals are seldom out of work, and others seldom are employed. But when there is any departure from this norm, such as to be noticeable, where employment is concerned, the reference book, when and what events will happen, shows statistically that there is always a temporary stellar area formed at that time, as mapped by a progressed aspect, leading into a house having to do with that employment. Insofar as the situation secured or lost involves credit, honor, or responsibility, there is a major progressed aspect, within one degree of perfect, to the ruler of the 10th house. Insofar as the situation secured or lost involves a change in the matter of labor, there is a major progressed aspect, within one degree of perfect, to the ruler of the 6th house. Most changes of any consequence where employment is concerned involve both the matter of preference as well as that of labor. Analysis reveals, as set forth in When and What Events Will Happen, that when people gain employment or lose it, there is a major progressed aspect to the ruler of the 6th and a major progressed aspect to the ruler of the 10th. Jobs which last only a month or so may be indicated by merely a progressed aspect of the moon. The kind of position secured depends upon not merely the amount of activity, but the harmony or discord of the activity of the stellar cells mapped by the 10th house and 6th house. Their normal activity, of course, is indicated by these houses in the birth chart. But when progressed aspects form to their rulers, temporary stellar aerials permit additional planetary energy to gain access to these stellar cells and increase their activity. This is what brings or loses the position. But the harmony or discord of the energy received by these cells from the planets may not be determined by the harmony or discord of the aspects leading into these two houses. If there are other, even though unrelated, progressed aspects in the chart at the same time, these indicate stellar aerials picking up planetary energy of the harmony or discord indicated by the aspects. Because the thoughts and feelings tune the electromagnetic energies to their rate, if these heavier aspects cause the thoughts and feelings to be dominated by the energy they map, this tunes the etheric body to their particular harmony or discordant static. And this enables these other planetary energies, using electromagnetic energy of a corresponding vibration as a conductor, to gain access to the compartment of the astral body, into which at the time any other temporary stellar aerial extends. If the individual understands this, and keeps his thoughts and feelings tuned to the best progressed aspect present at the time, he has a powerful means at hand for attracting good fortune. Thus, as it is actually observed in analyzing charts, a good position is often secured when the ruler of the tenth is afflicted, if at the same time there is a more powerful harmonious progressed aspect in the chart, which acts as a rallying force. It is often observed that people lose their jobs at times under a good progressed aspect to the ruler of the tenth, because there is at the same time some more powerful discordant aspect, which acts as a rallying force. But unless the thought cells mapped by the 10th and 6th houses are given new energy through some major progressed aspect leading to the rulers of these houses, there will be no marked change in employment. The four factors of making money. 1. Of most importance in the power to make money is the amount of activity, and the harmony and discord, of the stellar cells within the compartment of the astral body mapped by the second house. And in judging this, bear in mind that the thought cells mapped by Venus bring money with little effort, those mapped by Jupiter through fortunate transactions and the goodwill of others, those mapped by Mars through strife, and that they incline to squander it, and those mapped by Saturn, while they tend to save and hoard, are such as bring wealth only through persistent and laborious effort. 2. Next in importance are the prominence and aspects of the business planets, Jupiter and Saturn. The thought cells of Jupiter show power to attract wealth, and those of Saturn to keep it. 3. Third in importance is the 10th house, the stellar cells of which determine so largely the person's honor, credit, reputation and success in business. These all have a bearing on money making. 4. Fourth in importance are the sun and moon. The thought cells mapped in the astral body by the sun show the power to attract gold and the goodwill of those in power. The thought cells in the astral body mapped by the moon show the power to attract silver and the goodwill of the common people. Thus, if the sun is well aspected and prominent and the moon is afflicted, it is a waste of time to bother with small sales and little business deals, as there is greater success through a few large transactions. But if the moon is prominent and well aspected and the sun afflicted, it is better to follow a business in which there is a large turnover, even though each transaction is small. Wealth, however, is not confined to gold and silver, even though it is measured by them. If an activity is to yield ready financial returns, it is much better that a favorable aspect from the house ruling it should lead to the ruler of the second house. But even aside from this, a favorably aspected planet may be considered a potential source of wealth. The activities of the thought cells denoted by houses much afflicted seldom bring wealth and always bring trouble. Money is gained through the first house by capitalizing the personality, such as in selling through personal contact. Banking and finances come under the second house. Transportation, mail order and writing are avenues of the third house. Real estate and hotels belong to the fourth house. The fifth house governs stocks, bonds, speculation and entertainment. The sixth house has to do with the preparation and serving of foods. The seventh house gives gain through meeting the public. The eighth house relates to gifts, the partner's money, inheritance and the investment of other people's money. The ninth house brings gain through teaching, lecturing and publishing. The tenth is the house of business. The 11th house capitalizes on friendship, politically or as a sales avenue, or as professional hostess or reception clerk. The 12th house indicates gain through large livestock, through detective work, or in association with hospitals and places of detention. As already indicated in selecting the outlet for the abilities, for best fortune the individual should associate with those things, which are indicated by harmonious stellar cells in his astral body. This applies to selecting the things ruled by any house in the chart, as a possible source of wealth. Where to succeed, it is not uncommon for a person to fail in one locality and succeed in another. The sign occupied in the birth chart by the best planet for money indicates the type of environment where success with money will be greatest. Thus also, the sign occupied by the planet most afflicting the money prospects is the environment where money making will be most difficult. Tables showing the rulership of the various environments by the signs are given in lesson number 90. When the 10th and 9th houses are more harmonious than the 4th and 3rd, a person can do better at some distance from the locality of birth. And in case a move is advisable, the direction from the place of birth that the best planet for money making is in the birth chart, the left-hand side of the chart being east, the top south, the right-hand side west, and the bottom north is, other considerations not contradicting, the direction in which success would be most pronounced. Indications of honors, the stellar cells which have been built into the compartment of the astral body covered by the 10th house are more significant than any others in indicating the reputation. However, in this connection the sun, as representing the attitude of those in authority, and the moon, as representing the attitude of the common people, should also receive some consideration. People with no planets elevated as witnessed in the charts of Grau San Martin and Thomas A. Edison may attain fame through unusual accomplishment. In such instances an aspect from the planet ruling the accomplishment to the MC, or to the ruler of the 10th, enables it to reach the amplifier and thus get public recognition. Henry Ford, with planets in the 10th, nevertheless is better known for his handling of labor in the interests of universal welfare, as indicated by Pluto in the 6th in close trine to the MC, than for anything else. Thomas A. Edison, with only one planet above the horizon, is noted for his inventions, as indicated by a close trine of Uranus to the MC. Grau San Martin gained fame through his military activity, shown by Mars in close trine to the MC, in connection with revolution, as shown by Uranus trine the ruler of the 10th, and his temporary position of president of his country, as indicated by the Sun trine to the ruler of the 10th. But for wide public recognition, either favorable or unfavorable, other than through such unusual contributions to society, which are so important they cannot be overlooked, elevated planets, the nearer the MC the better, are the common essential. The factor of control, as the success in business, the money acquired, the honors attained, and all other circumstances of life are attracted by the condition of the thought cells of certain compartments in the astral body, the birth chart indicates, not the inevitable conditions, but what changes must be brought about in the thought cells thus mapped, if the conditions attracted are to be those desired. These thought cells and the stellar structures they form, attract events at a particular time in life, because of the energy added to them by temporary stellar aerials, mapped by aspects. The fortune or misfortune of the event so attracted is determined by the harmony or discord of the stellar cells thus stimulated into activity. This harmony or discord, however, is not entirely dependent upon the aspects of the planets, but is subject to considerable control by induced emotion and directed thinking. Especially is it possible, when there is one harmonious progressed aspect, even though it is not powerful, so to tune the thoughts and feelings to its influence, as to permit its energies to reach and enter all the compartments of the astral body, which are at the same time reached by temporary stellar aerials mapped by other progressed aspects, no matter what their nature. Through mental alchemy, and through this intelligent application of rallying forces, which places the planetary energies received under the individual's control, an aspect which otherwise would indicate a misfortune may be made a force for attracting fortunate events. Out of print, see Church of Light Research Cyclopedia.